Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultralife. My name is Mike, and this week we have a repeat guest on, but I'm really, really excited about having this dude on because the first time we had him on, which was about a year ago, we talked a little bit about running and a little bit about different stuff, but now this dude has an incredible story to tell. There's a lot in his life that has changed over the last year, and man, I'm just jazzed about having Mr. Thomas DiStefano, the civilian, on our show. Thomas, ready to go for a run?
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, it's weird. You're a civilian now.
It is weird. It's the first time since I was 18 that I wasn't in the military, and it feels a lot different.
Wow, that's crazy. So how many total years did you do in the military?
23 and some change.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, thank you so much for your service. So how was your retirement party?
That was great. I did that mid-November, and my wife organized all of that. She did a wonderful job with that.
That's awesome. That had to have been amazing.
It really was. We did it at the Mariners Museum, which is in Newport News.
Okay. That's a cool place. Good place to run, too.
It is.
Awesome. So then, let's see. So after that, then you finished up your degree. Is that correct? Your master's.
I got my PMP in for project management.
Okay. All right.
And I was at Syracuse University studying, but it was not for a degree. It was for a certification for the PMP.
Okay, cool. So you got your certification, and now you've started a new job.
That's correct.
And what are you doing now?
I'm still in the world of construction and repair of nuclear vessels, submarines, and aircraft carriers. I'm more so on the contract side now, following the project management side of it.
Okay. So do you now work for Newport News Shipbuilding, or are you a contractor for Newport News Shipbuilding?
I'm a contractor for NAVCO8.
Okay.
And who is the same organization that I was serving for while I was active duty.
Really? So you basically just shifted from active duty to a civilian type of role?
That's right. The responsibilities
you're taking on
are
more
quite
responsibilities,
a bit
right?
There are different responsibilities. My previous responsibilities were nuclear regulation, and now I'm on the oversight of finances and productivity.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is that a big switch from what you were doing?
It is in some respects, because I was very comfortable doing what I was doing. I had been doing it for a while. And I got my project management because I knew I wanted to get into the world of following projects with the right certification to do that. And I had experience in that area, but not to the same extent that I'm going to have at this point. And so I'm going in an area that, you know, some familiarity with. I don't consider myself an expert in that area.
Okay. And your wife continues to work. Is that correct?
That's right. She's a director of finance for Beltone Hearing Aids.
Awesome. I need new hearing aids here. So, you know, maybe I should talk to her.
Give her a call. It's a great organization.
Yeah. My wife would like me to go not be doing, huh? As much as I do. I have hearing aids, but we had to go dirt cheap when I got them. And so they're not awesome, but they do the trick when I need them to. And how long has your wife been doing that, though?
Oh, I'm going to get this wrong. I think 2 years. Yeah, I think it's about 2 years.
Okay.
But cool. Don't quote me. It might be longer or shorter.
Hey, man, it's just a detail. It's okay. So, right. Kids, how are the kids doing?
Kids are doing excellent. Yeah, Noah's one. He turned one in November. He's just the cutest little guy. In fact, when we woke up this morning, we have a nanit that we use to monitor him when he's sleeping. And we got a great picture of my 4-year-old Austin, who climbed in his crib around, you know, just before they woke up, just hugging each other. And they're just wonderful kids, my two boys.
Awesome. That is so awesome. Cool.
And then
we'll talk about Austin in a second, because I remember a cool picture of Austin. So.
Absolutely. He likes his fast water. I'll talk about that too.
Okay.
And then we have our three girls, McKinley, Kylie, and Cadence. McKinley's 12 now.
Wow.
And she's doing real well. She's going to be in her final year of junior high next year. She's looking forward to that. And then it just starts
at the high school.
Okay.
Kylie's 15, and she's doing excellent in school. Really proud of her. And then we got Cadence, who's on her junior year, getting ready to become a senior. And so we're going through college tours now. We just toured one college, and we're going to tour a couple more this year. So she's off, hopefully starting to apply for scholarships.
Awesome. Awesome. And what does she want to study in college?
I think she wants to go into business, but she's not completely sure yet. She's been real active with JROTC in high school, and she's planning on continuing that next year too. And so I could see her joining the military.
Really? That would be cool. Wow.
Right.
I could see that too, because she's very disciplined. So
she is.
Yeah. I could totally see her having a military career. That would be cool.
Right.
Awesome. Awesome. So let's jump into the running, because a lot has changed. I mean, the last time we talked, you had completed, I think it was 5 ultramarathons, right?
I think so. I was just really getting into the sport. I had, enough where I probably consider myself an ultra marathoner, but not good yet.
Right.
And at that point, I was setting a goal for running my first 100. That's what I told you, in your podcast, that I'm going to run 100 in the next 12 months. And I think it was that time where you suggested, well, why don't you do a 200, and a little push helped make that happen.
A little push made that happen. And I mean, let's just jump right into Swami Shuffle 200 2024 with both feet here, because you blew my mind as to how well you did.
Well, I appreciate that.
I mean, that was probably one of the most well-executed races I have seen at any distance. That was, you had a plan, you stuck to your plan, and you pulled it off flawlessly.
I really appreciate that. And it's good now looking back, but I'll tell you, I went in very nervous, not knowing if my plan was executable, not being familiar with that distance. And I came out with a completely different perspective about ultra marathoning. And I think that that race, there was a lot of growth that it came from that race.
And that's really where I want to go, because I mean, we all know you, Thomas, the very disciplined, consistent runner and everything. But something changed in you during those 220 miles.
Absolutely.
Have you started digging into that a little bit?
Yeah, I really did. I'll tell you a story real quick, Mike, that I don't think I've shared with you previously. And I've opened up only now a little bit because I'm retired and I got a little bit more flexibility with what I'm willing to talk about. And I won't go into a lot of detail, but I'll tell you, September 2003, I had a son named Anthony who I lost October of that year. And that really affected my life. And I had another tragedy that occurred in my life too. In December of 2006 on the Minneapolis St. Paul, where I lost a number of guys, 5 guys got washed overboard. It was my responsibility to, as a diver and rescue swimmer, to respond. And 2 guys lost their life that day.
Wow.
And both of those events, at the time that they occurred, my son, it was 19, then the casualty on the Minneapolis St. Paul, I was just a little bit older, but I really didn't stop and process those. I moved on. I was progressing my career, but that had an impact that I didn't expect later. And, I won't go into too much detail, but like night tremors and things that I really, younger me, didn't recognize the importance of processing that.
Okay.
And so when you discussed the Swami with me, and it corresponded to my retirement date, my official date of getting on the military was the end of February.
Okay.
The date was perfect for that. But what I didn't also share with you too is I really have dealt with some things in my past too in the military, and know a little bit about, what it's like being in the military, having times in life that are, going through stages of depression and having to recover from that. And so ultra runner really in general has helped me with that. When they closed the gyms down and during the COVID period is when I'll consider it to be, kind of a low in my life. Exercising has been always kind of an escape for me. And I used to be real into going to the gym.
when the military closed that down, it was greater than a year is when I started running. And that was my first ultra run. I jumped pretty much right into, you know, running the longer races. And that was Karen Sanzo's Windsor Castle 10-hour. Not knowing a lot about running, and just knowing that I kind of like the longer distance, it's more fun, but I didn't consider myself to be an ultra marathoner. When you and I last talked in the last podcast, I had a couple more ultra marathons under my belt at that time. I'd run the Backyard Ultra in 2022, and I did Windsor Castle again in June of 22, and a couple other ones. I think I had done Pemberton. Yep. And Night Train 50K. But at that point, I knew that ultra running was a thing that I liked. It hit me in the right headspace. And I was definitely coming out of like a slump that I was in. So I knew that I was on the come up. There's what I'm saying. And so
yep.
Your suggestion of Swami was perfect. It corresponded to my retirement date. And it was supporting a cause that really resonated with me.
Yes. Yeah. So I did not realize. I remember the story about the son who died when you were 19. And I had not heard the story about the sailors who got washed overboard. That's wow. So you were the diver responsible for jumping in after them.
Yeah, there's two divers on each submarine. And the other diver was one of the first guys that got swept over.
Wow.
And so I was responding to his man overboard as well as four other folks who fell in the water. And this is coming out of Plymouth, England, Plymouth Sound in England in December. Water was brutally cold.
Oh, I was going to say that had to have been freezing.
Right.
Because this is right there going into the North Sea, right?
That's correct.
So, I mean, gigantic waves, I'm sure, and cold, cold, cold. And you're jumping in the water. You were able to get three out.
No, I was topside. There was two sailors still tethered to our ship. There's
okay.
a safety device in which they're tethered. And the Navy has learned a lot about how to properly protect the sailors when they're topside. But the weather had turned quickly, and we were taking waves. And that those two gentlemen who were tethered were getting beat back and forth across the ship.
Oh.
And so I went out there and broke both of them free and was able to get them onto a rescue boat that went back into the harbor and got as a life-saving effort to try to get them to the hospital in time.
Wow.
The other three who broke free were the Coast Guard of England had already picked them up. It was the two topside that I was spending most of my effort trying to save.
Wow. Okay, so you've carried that for 18 years with you.
That's right.
Wow, that's a heavy burden to carry. Now, I know that along the way you've gotten very involved with F3, and I know that that is another part of the healing process. Is that correct?
That is. That's a great group.
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about F3? Because I know that this is a difference maker in your life, and I think it's important to your story.
Absolutely. So it was after the first couple marathons. I think it was around the time of Pemberton. So September 2022, I went to F3 for a workout that was outside. That night, I couldn't sleep well. I was having some problems sleeping. And so I remembered that a previous boss of mine had told me about F3 and didn't really think much about it, thinking it was a workout group. I knew it was outside. But what I found was really a lot more than that. F3 is fitness, fellowship, and faith. And while there is fitness, those other two F's are just as important. And so with that group, you know, there's involvement in different volunteer events, different, you know, fellowship meetings where we get together and talk and really form strong bonds. There's also time to get together in faith and share, like right now we're doing the New Testament and we're reading that together. Well, independently, but we're discussing it together through an app. And so those three F's, fitness, fellowship, and faith, united through that group, have really been an important part of helping me to get to a much better place since 2022 when I joined.
That is awesome. So now bringing it back to Swami, they were also part of your Swami journey.
They were.
So tell us a little bit about how they were part of your Swami journey.
So I talked about the races that I'm doing as part of the group, you know, when we have discussions, and told them that I'm thinking about running this 200. And there was a lot of support from the guys because I hadn't done the 100 yet, and so doing 200 was kind of a big step, and I was somewhat nervous about that. But I'll tell you, I got a lot of assurance that, you know, I could do this, and so I felt that was good support there. But not only the support going into it, like during the race, this great guy, everybody in F3 has a nickname. This great guy, Michael Chin, his name for F3 is Traeger, because he likes to smoke meat and barbecue
Okay.
competitions.
Awesome.
But like, he came down and drove 130 miles to run 17 miles with me. This was still southward, but got 17 miles north of the lighthouse down in Hatteras, and ran all the way to the lighthouse with me, and then turned around,
Wow.
drove 130 miles back home, and, you know, to have dinner with his family. But that's the kind of support and bonds that I've been able to build through that group. Just a great group of guys.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's amazing. So let's get into Swami. So I remember you and I and Tyler went for a run on the beach about a month before Swami, right?
That's right.
And that was your first time running on sand.
That's correct.
All right. And was it a little bit daunting? I mean, we only went 10 miles down the beach. Was it daunting thinking I got 11 to 12 more miles of this to do?
You know, the run on the beach itself on the way out, I wasn't too nervous about. What I was the most nervous about is, because I was tired that night after our run on the beach, was the toll that it was going to take, and knowing that there was so many miles ahead of me after putting that type of punishment on the legs.
Right.
And so, you know, you can learn a little bit by running on the beach, and that was a great training run. But one of the unknowns that I had is, okay, what is that going to do when you add 40 more miles on that later that day? And how is it going to feel the next morning when I wake up and know I got to get back at running again?
So tell us about the first day, because I mean, I went out with you and Kyle, and I had to shuffle you guys ahead because you guys were just kicking butt. But tell us a little bit about the first day.
So starting there, I think we all started off together on the road there. That was great. And we hit the beach. I think it's about 22 miles. And Kyle and I'll tell you, we went out a little bit faster than I thought, than I had initially planned. I was gonna be very conservative and save everything for when I hit the road and then start cruising. But I was really enjoying the conversation with Kyle. So I said, okay, you know, this is feeling okay. So we got through the beach portion and hit the road, and still felt, you know, mile 23 or so. Still felt pretty good at that point. I'll tell you that my feet were a complete wreck, though.
Yeah.
I was covered in blisters, which I didn't expect that at that early on. That was kind of a surprise.
So did you stop and take care of the blisters or
I
soldier
did.
on? Okay, so
I stopped.
good. I was hoping you were going to say that you stopped. So
Yeah, I had a pretty good crew. My dad was crewing me. My best friend Scott Raddick was crewing me, and so they brought me a change of shoes and safety pin and band-aids, and I popped everything up and wrapped it up, changed shoes, got all the sand out. I used the trick that you taught me about with the baby powder, and that works great.
isn't it amazing?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you that I was concerned about the blisters, but in all actuality, they didn't. It didn't matter. They didn't bother me at all after I
Awesome.
wrapped them up.
So you got your shoes changed and cruised down the road. How far did you go first day?
First day, I ran with Kyle for 44 miles, I think, till about the Kitty Hawk area. We had one other gentleman join us too, a buddy that who I met actually in boot camp, Jeff Borden. And so he came, and he has a house in Corolla, and he ran about 10 miles with us, which that was great.
Cool.
Kyle met up with his family down in Kitty Hawk, and I think they were going to have dinner. So I pushed on and got down that night to Organ Inlet. And that was the goal that night, to get to Organ Inlet, where I had my crew, and they had pulled an RV down there to get some sleep.
So
But
you
I'll tell
jumped in the RV, so that's about mile 63-ish, right? Right before
68.
you go over the Bass Knight Bridge, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do I have
Watch was reading 68 at that point.
68? Okay. So you're mile 68. You get an RV. How long did you go down for?
I got there around midnight and I slept until 7.
Okay.
So I ate a burger and some fries too. So I don't know what time I went to
Awesome.
sleep, but I got 6 hours or so of sleep,
Good.
which I've now found that was probably a lot more than I needed. I talked to
Okay.
Aaron afterwards and I was wanting to come because I didn't even consider going into this a sleep strategy that works. And he pretty much told me I was being a big baby and sleeping too much.
Sounds like Mr. 57 hours. Yeah. He's a beast.
Yes,
That's
he is.
funny.
He's a wonderful runner.
Yes, he is. We're talking about Aaron Isles here for everybody who is familiar. Aaron Isles, I believe this may have been like his 10th 200 miler. I might be wrong with that, but it's somewhere, it's quite a few. So we'll go with quite a few. All right. So you got a good 6 hours of sleep, started out at 7 in the morning. And so did you meet up with anybody the second day, or were you pretty much on your own the second day?
Second day, when I first started, I got out there and it was almost 7 because the sunrise, I got to catch it on the bridge and that was a
Oh, that's
beautiful sight.
awesome. That is awesome. Nothing like that in the world.
That's a wonderful
Cool.
sight. Wonderful pictures too. But that was just me. And I was in communication with Kyle and I knew he was a little bit in front of me. And so I was moving and knowing that I was probably going to catch up to him at some point that day. But went all the way down to, I think, about Salvo and by myself and hit the house down there in Salvo for a pit stop.
Okay. What time was that around?
That was midday. That was before lunch. So I
Okay.
would think
Yeah, so
probably.
you made good time, 'cause that was mile 87-ish, I think, if I got my numbers right. Probably wrong.
Now, I was
So
really surprised on day two to wake up and feel as fresh as I felt. And so I played day one real conservative, not knowing what day two was going to feel like. And those are lessons learned now that I can incorporate into next time that I do something like this to know that, just a little bit of rest and the body can heal up pretty quick. And so those first 20 or so miles, I was moving pretty good and I wasn't feeling fatigued at that point.
awesome. Awesome. So you took a little break at the Savile House, refueled, and took off again, right?
I did. I took a It was a little bit of an extended break. Kyle let me know that he had a pair of Normatex
Oh,
there,
yeah. Okay.
which I had not used those before, and that's I want to buy some. Those are life changing.
That was
And so
amazing.
they are. So I did a 20-minute leg compression cycle. That felt absolutely wonderful. And then I headed south from there, and to get that's it's pretty bare down there. There's not much around, so I made sure I was nice and fueled up prior to leaving there as well.
So what time did you make it to the lighthouse? Because it's about 22 miles, 23 miles to the lighthouse from there.
It is.
Oh,
Well, head
no. No,
south.
wait. Actually, no, it's 33 miles. I'm sorry. It's another
Right.
50K. Yeah, there we go.
Well, I headed south there. I think I hit the vehicle ramp number 27, where this is where Traeger met up with me there. So
Oh,
17 miles
awesome.
north.
Cool.
And that was that late afternoon at that point. Maybe I'm guessing, but I'm thinking 4 or 5 o'clock,
Okay.
somewhere in there. And we headed south. I was feeling at this point a little bit fatigued. I was starting to feel it. And so we were not moving too quick, but we were still at a light jog here.
Okay.
And we hit the lighthouse and it was right at when the sun was going down. And so we got
Awesome.
some wonderful pictures of the lighthouse behind us, the sun going down, pictures of him and I and the race directors. And that's where I met up with Kyle.
Okay.
And so pictures with Kyle. And I also met up with Tyler there as well.
Okay. Wow. So all three of you were at the lighthouse at the same time.
That's right.
That's amazing.
Tyler was just headed back out. Kyle had just gotten there and just before I did.
Okay. Awesome. So was it at this point that you realized, huh, I'm right behind all the big guys?
It started to set in then that where I was in placement, and I wasn't expecting that really. And so that's when there was a boost of energy that came and said, hey, I'm keeping up with, these people who have known experience in these type of races. And I could do this. So a lot of confidence came there.
Yeah, so you've gone over the 100 mile mark at this point. You're at 110, and so now you're heading back out, and you're realizing, huh, I'm hanging with guys that have completed 100 milers. Kyle, who's paced at a 250 miler, and done about 129 miles of pacing there. So he's got tons of miles on his feet and everything. So you're hanging with two really very good athletes who are also very competitive. So that had to have been a big confidence boost.
It was.
That's
It really
awesome.
was.
That's awesome. So as you continued on, at some point, where did you pass Kyle?
So Kyle was going to pit stop there for a while at the
Right.
lighthouse. And so
Oh, that's right, because his buddy came.
that's right. I
Okay.
believe he did. So he pit stopped there, and then Tyler was on his way out on my way in. And I think he was getting ready to pit stop as well.
Okay.
And I had intentions of going to back to Oregon Inlet to get some sleep that night.
Okay. So you were
And
gonna
so
make it all the way back to Oregon Inlet. So wow, that's a trek, dude.
Right.
One, would that put you at like 150? No,
Trying
further than that, right?
to see. It
Once.
was 89 miles on day two. And yeah, I think 149 is about
Okay.
where my goal was on day two to hit the 149 mile marker.
That's amazing. And you hit it. You did very well in hitting that mark. What was P Island like in the dark?
Well, I'll tell you that when I left the lighthouse, I was pumped because
Yeah.
I, just met up with some runners that I consider to be excellent runners. To know that I'm still hanging with them was really motivating. And so I left there and I was cruising at that point going north. I stopped at the Food Lion there in, I believe it's Avon.
Yep.
And big shout out to Stephanie Bain, who she's the one that was opening the Frank and Franz bait shop during the day to give
Yes.
runners energy drinks. Well,
Yep.
I saw her at Food Lion and I was buying a banana and an orange and vitamin water. And she would not let me pay for it. She said, I got it. I like what you're doing. This is awesome. So big shout out
That's
to her. She's
amazing.
just a great person.
Yeah.
So I left there still pretty motivated, still cruising. And headed north, but I'll tell you, I was getting pretty fatigued by the time I hit that P Island, and I knew I was going to get back to the RV, but it was moving slow, and I was in quite the pain cave.
Yeah. So what was
This is
Jug Handle like knowing you're all on your own now?
that was rough. That was rough.
Yeah.
And at this point, the hallucinations are starting to set in. I'm thinking that I'm seeing people out there that, and then I catch up and it's not really a person. And that happened a couple times until I saw Lisa, who was a real person.
She is definitely a real person. And so where did you caught Lisa on P Island?
I think that it was on P Island.
Okay.
I think it was. It was
Okay.
maybe about 14 miles out from Oregon Inlet. And that sounds like P Island if I'm remembering correctly.
Right. Yep.
But she had stopped with her son Noah to get some water and refuel. And so I caught up and I, as I got closer, I said, oh, wait, this is a real person. And so I got to meet her then. And I said, do you mind if I run with you for a bit? I'm in a pain cave here. And she was great. She said, yeah. And so I tried my hardest to keep up with her because she moves.
Yeah. And keep in mind, she's not really running. She's got like this walk run thing that I don't know. She kicks my butt. She's amazing.
Absolutely. And I attempted to keep a walk and keep the pace, and that's impossible. So I was at a
Yep.
jog and she was at a walk because she's just quick.
Yeah.
And we
Yeah.
found out how much we have in common. I remember her saying she has five kids. I have five kids. She has a son named Noah. I have a son named Noah. And it was a really good conversation. And so those 14 or so miles that I was really dreading because I was in a pain cave, they just flew by because I was in great company.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's one of the beauties of SWAMI is that people don't realize is you meet these guys that are total strangers. They're in the same boat as you, and you can make miles just click off without even knowing you're doing it because you're just having a wonderful conversation with them and sharing life. And that's, I think that's what I love about swamis over anything else is you share more of life with people than you do in a typical race.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you got back to the trailer.
I did. At this point, sun had just come up. My crew, they knew I'm coming in, so they had made pancakes and bacon.
Oh.
And so I'm gonna stop, I'm gonna eat breakfast, and I'm gonna get some sleep. And I asked, Lisa if she's interested, and she said nope, she was continuing on. And so she continued on, and I stopped, ate, and got some sleep.
Okay, so about how many hours sleep did you get that time?
It was less than 3 hours that night, or that
Wow.
morning, I guess.
Okay. So you're
I was
back up in round 10-ish or so?
that's right. And I was back on the road before noon that day.
Okay.
And at this point, I couldn't really sleep. I was in a different mindset here. The first
Okay.
night, I'm just gonna, my first night of sleep, I just want to complete 200 miles. After that trek down to the lighthouse and knowing that I'm keeping up with some really good runners here, that is changing, and sleep was less important to me then, and I wanted to perform well at this point, and so
Okay.
I couldn't really sleep that well. I wanted to move.
So the competitive juices really set in knowing that you're hanging third or fourth, right?
That's right.
Okay. So you had a pretty good day all the way up through Duck, right?
I did. I left
Okay.
that the RV there in Oregon Inlet, and within the first 3 or 4 miles, I caught back up to Tyler, who was running, and we ran together, I would guess about 12 miles
Okay.
or so up to the Kitty Hawk area, and that was his next pit stop that was planned.
Okay.
He's a great guy to run with.
Oh yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, I admire Tyler a lot also. Tell us a little bit about, I mean, what are some of the conversations you and Tyler are having during this run?
So we're talking about previous races. So I'll tell you, he's ran a lot more incredible races than I have. So yeah, I really appreciated his stories. His 100 that he just came off of
Yeah,
last year
Daytona.
was
Yeah.
that was incredible.
19 hours. Yeah. Yeah, that was amazing. We got to be cheering him on for Keys. He's going back down for Keys Redemption at the end of May, so we got to cheer him on for that.
Absolutely. I look forward to following him and seeing how that goes.
Okay, so throughout this first 170 miles, we're over 170, probably somewhere around 175 miles now. What are the emotions you dealt with?
I think I felt every emotion in the book. There was times where just incredibly motivated and just want to move, and looking at my watch and knowing that I've already achieved that 100 goal that I had established the last time you and I talked in a podcast. And so that was great. And then there's moments where, everything hurts. I don't want to take another step and just don't know how it's gonna occur. Everything in between that. And I'll tell you that I thought about the cause behind the race quite a bit too. And that's probably the most important part here is that the race, as you're aware, is about veteran mental health. And, some of the things I was thinking about is that there's a lot of veterans out there that are in that, not a running, but their own type of pain cave. And many instances, they don't know how they're going to get out of that. So I thought about that a lot, about how bad they have it, not knowing that where the light, at the end of the tunnel is for them. So that
Yes.
was on my mind quite a bit. And so there was a complete range of emotions that was going on. I was spending a lot of time talking to my wife. She was being very supportive, calling her all times of day and night. And she was, especially when I was hurt, and she would say something or do something or send me a funny text, and that would be really helpful.
That's awesome. That is so amazing. Let's take our little break. Can we bring Jessica in now on that little note?
Yeah, absolutely. Let me grab her.
Cool. All right.
All right, my better half is coming now.
Awesome. Awesome. Your better half, my forever girlfriend, will edit this and make it sound perfect.
That sounds wonderful. All right, my Jessica is here.
Hi, Jessica. So I wanted to bring you in on the conversation just to kind of catch you up. We're talking about Swami and we're talking about the emotions that Thomas went through and how you were kind of his emotional support animal during this race. I bet you've never been called an emotional support animal before, have you?
No, this is a first.
She
There
will forevermore.
you go. You'll never forget that or forgive me. Jessica, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you in is because you are such an important part of the Thomas story and him getting to where he is now and this man he's becoming. And so I wanted to bring you in just to kind of talk a little bit about your and Thomas's relationship and how the running part of it has affected it. Would you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. In a lot of ways, it's actually brought us closer, I think, because I think a part of every good marriage is how can each spouse support each other, right? So when he took this undertaking, I kind of knew from the beginning, like when he was signing up for his first ultra, I remember thinking, oh, here we go. Because Thomas doesn't do anything halfway. He's pretty much in it to win it all the time. And then he really just fell in love with it. So, I love him. So I support him and what he loves. And at first, it was just about supporting him. But now it's been more about the friendships we've made along the way. We've met a lot of really amazing people in the ultra running world, people that I hope we will have friends with. Way past the point where Thomas needs knee replacement.
That's way down the road.
Way
That's
down
the yeah,
the
we think about that when you're like 90 or something. So you don't worry too much about the knee stuff.
road. Okay, I'll do my best. I do absolutely worry about him when he's running like the 200 miler. That was rough for me at home, worrying
What
about
did you
him.
think when he signed up for a 200 miler and he's never gone further than 50 miles?
So I think any other man I think normally would be like, this is a lot, right? That's a huge undertaking. But I know Thomas and I know that he was gonna prepare the best way possible. And in my mind, I just wanted him to finish and was trying to make sure he crossed that finish line safe. I had no doubt that he would finish, but when he finished in third on his first year, that's crazy even for me to think about with
Yeah.
Thomas. Pretty intense.
So, what were your thoughts as he's going through the pain cave during Swami? What was going through your head?
Oh, I mean, I think at that point, I could really tell that he was sick, that he was, I could hear it in his voice, I could hear it in his chest. And I was really worried. I was really nervous about that. But of course, I wasn't going to tell him that. No, I go towards that tough love, like, are you okay? Yeah, all right, we'll keep going because that's what
Awesome.
he responds to the
Okay.
best.
So, how did you stay calm? Like when he would call you and he's in this absolute pain cave, how did you stay so calm?
I'm not sure that I did. I probably got about 5 hours of sleep the whole time he was running.
Oh my gosh.
I think being at home was probably worse than if I had been there physically crewing him, being able to physically see that he was okay. So I don't know that I was calm. Maybe I was calm with him. Was I calm with you on the phone,
You did a
maybe?
good job at hiding it if you weren't.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I was really nervous. I was really scared. I was up just waiting for a phone call, making
Okay.
sure. But our best friend was out there and my father-in-law was out there kind of keeping me updated. Karen Sanzo was great.
Yeah.
She was fantastic. And there was one point where I was like, is he really sick? How bad is it? And she's like, no, it's fine. Just a little congested. And then when he came back, she was like, yeah, I wasn't going to tell you how bad it was, but it was pretty bad. And I was like,
That's
thanks. I
Karen.
appreciate that. Yeah. She's
Karen
pretty great.
is one of the best. I'm a huge Karen fan, so yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know, keeping calm. I think I kept calm because he needed me to be calm. I know that if I had been at home freaking out, he would have been freaking out.
Right.
And I needed his mental space to be where it needed to be. He needed to be focused on the race and not focus on, okay, is my wife okay? Is she freaking out because she's worried about me, or are the kids okay? So he heard about no fighting from the children, or
It was total peace the whole time he was gone. There was no fighting amongst the children at all, was there?
absolutely no problems at home. Everything was completely
Just
serene.
angels and
Yes.
I believe that, not one little iota. So
Whatever
I have
Thomas
met a couple of your
Jefferson
kids, so yeah,
did
I'm not believing that at all. So
here. There's always chaos with five of them, I'll be
that's
honest.
awesome. That's so awesome. So all right, so last question, then I'm gonna have you give it back to Thomas, because I want you kind of set the stage. So we're going into Tuesday night, and he's about to hit probably the, I would say, one of the toughest sections of this course, in hitting the beach on his own at night with a little bit of a rainstorm coming in. What are the Jessica thoughts at this point?
There wasn't much because he told me that he was going to sleep. Yeah, no, I
Oh.
was awake, but as far as I knew, he was in a comfortable bed after a hot shower, taking a break, and he was supposed to call me when he hit the road again. So that didn't happen. He just, what, did you stay there for like an hour,
An hour.
maybe?
I couldn't
Yeah.
sleep.
And then left and messed me all up in the morning. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So the first indication you had that he had hit the beach in the rainstorm was at what time?
Oh, what, like 5:30 in the morning, maybe 5, when I
So
finally looked at
he's
his
like probably
location.
4 or 5 miles away from
Yes.
the finish line, and that's how you found out. I
Oh
love
yeah,
you,
and
Thomas.
the mad dash to get all of my kids out, ready and out of the house to get to the finish line, let me tell you about that.
Because you're not
It was
coming from
terrible.
Virginia Beach, you're coming from
No.
Smithfield,
Yes,
Isle of
it's
Wight County, with 5 kids. 1, 4, and 3 basically teenagers.
yes. Yep. And he's not going slow. And he's competitive, so he's ready. He knows that third place is in his grasp, so he's going. And I'm on the phone like, please just slow down. I want to see you. I want to see you cross the finish line. Don't do this.
So, how did you make it from Isle of Wight County to Virginia Beach in what, an hour and a half?
Probably not legally.
This is awesome. This is so awesome. See, you gotta bring the wife in to tell the backstory that that us runners never know about. The things you have to do.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that none of my kids brush their teeth. We just loaded them up as fast as possible. And
That is
I really
amazing.
was crazy and under the impression that I was going to actually go to work that day until I saw Thomas, and then there was no way I was
Yeah,
going to
you
work.
realize we're calling in sick today.
Yep.
So, what were your
Yeah.
thoughts? All right, so you see him from when was the first time you saw him? About a half mile away.
Yeah.
So what were your thoughts as you see this man coming in third place? Probably look great, I'm sure.
Oh, a lot of pride. A lot
Okay.
of pride that he did this and he did it so well. But also, he's lost so much weight. He's so skinny. He hugging him at the finish line was, it made me really sad, if I'm honest. Because he had lost what, how many, like 15 pounds?
About that.
Wow.
Yeah. So we loaded him up with ice cream and gummy worms, all of his favorite foods when he got home. But I think, I kind of went into, I don't know, what do you like, caregiver mode?
Okay.
Like, because I had never seen him that skinny before, right? And he was fine. I gotta tell you, like, I was definitely more worried than I absolutely should have been. It's gonna be really horrible next year because I'm gonna be like, yeah, you're fine. It's all right. You've done this before. It's a little bit more tough love at the finish line.
There you go. I like that. How far
But
did
yeah,
Austin run with Dad?
about 200 meters or so,
I
last
was
quarter
so
mile.
impressed to see this little squirt running down the road with you. I was like, holy cow, man, look at that dude go.
Oh,
That
and
was
he thinks
awesome.
he's way faster than Daddy now. He beat Daddy. He
There you go.
went through the finish line before Daddy. Now he's faster than him.
Yeah, he reminds me all the time he's faster than me now.
Good. You gotta have that balance, Thomas, because at least somebody's faster than you. So, that's it. That is awesome. Jessica, thank you so much for spending a little time with us. I really appreciate you taking the time to be on. And now Thomas
Absolutely.
is going to finish back up. So Thomas, what I want you to start in on is one, I did not realize that you hadn't told your wife that you weren't stopping and you just hit the beach. So tell us what it was like as you get out of, were you in dad's truck or where were you camping out that hour before you hit the beach?
So that good buddy that I went to boot camp with, who ran with me and Kyle the first day, has a beach house up in Corolla.
Okay.
And so my intention was to go there and get some sleep and freshen up the legs prior to hitting the beach. But as I was laying there, I'll tell you, my level of competition through this went from just finishing it to I'm going to finish it as strong as I possibly can.
Okay.
And so sleep was not going to happen. I knew that I was less than a 50K from that finish line, very familiar distance, and I was going to move. And so I massaged my legs, got a meal, and then I was back out, I would say before 2 a.m. or so.
Okay.
I
What
was,
was the weather like when you hit the beach?
it was nasty. I was covered up in full rain gear. The wind was incredible on the beach. It was sand blowing. It was rain was pretty intermittent. It was a punishment from the weather to some
Yeah.
extent.
And was the wind at your back or was it swirling? Was it doing that swirly thing?
It was both.
Okay.
It was predominantly from my back, which was great. And there was gusts that were coming sideways and swirling as well. And those were the ones
Yeah.
that were throwing the sand.
Oh gosh. So how where on the beach are you? Or are you on the hard stuff or kind of where are you position wise on the beach?
I'm running down by the water,
Okay.
so on the compressed sand,
Okay, so you got some
the water.
good.
Right, I've got some good sand to run on here, and I don't know where it came from, but there's like a reserve tank of energy that I found somewhere, and I was cruising, I was moving really quick,
And now you
and
knew that Lisa was in front of you still, right?
right. And my intention was to we had run together the night before I stopped in Corolla. And I think I stopped around midnight or a little after midnight. But we had gone quite a few miles together. So my intention was to catch back up with her and spend some time together going into the finish line.
But in your wildest dreams, did you imagine passing her?
No, and I didn't even know that I did that with certainty until near the end when I called in and told them I was coming in. Because I kept looking for Lisa and looking for lights, but there's lights out the houses up by the,
Yeah.
and I kept thinking that that was a headlight. And then I'm hallucinating hard at this point. I'm seeing these huge mansions out at sea and power lines and things that are not there. And so I never saw Lisa. I didn't know whether she had stopped or not. I figured I was going to catch her because I was moving pretty quick, but like I said, I didn't know that whether I did or did not until more until the sun had come up.
Wow. So that's amazing. So you hit Back Bay, must have been somewhere around 7 a.m.
I exited the beach. It was I don't remember exactly what time it was when I exited the beach, but I had Jessica's location, and as she shared with you, I knew that she was coming in, and I knew I wasn't crossing the finish line until she got there. So
Right.
I sat down on the road for a little while, about a half a mile out from the finish line, before I turned the corner and could see
Yeah, right by the
everybody.
guard gate.
Right. I sat
Okay.
there for a while. And I think I
Looking
may have.
behind you to make sure Lisa wasn't coming
I was going to finish it with her if she did.
up.
But I knew I wasn't crossing that finish line until my wife got there.
Okay.
At that point, the smartest thing in the world to do is wait for my wife. I know that.
There you go. Smart man. Smart man. You would have been in big trouble if you had finished without her being there. So
Yeah.
Smart man. So you get the text from Jessica, you get back up and cruise into the finish line looking like you just run a marathon.
That's right. My boy comes out and ran the last bit with me, the last quarter mile or so. Beat me across the finish line. Now he's faster than me.
That is
And
awesome. I'm
it was
not
just
gonna let
a
you forget that either. So
it was a wonderful finish.
that is awesome. I'm so proud of you, man. I mean, just your persistence and I knew you had it in you. That was one of the reasons I talked you into doing this. Like, I really had to talk you into doing that. But I knew that you could get in this and it was in your wheelhouse and you could knock it out of the ballpark. And you absolutely did. So I'm really, really proud of you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. So, biggest positive takeaway from Swami Shuffle 2024.
I came out quite a bit changed. As I said going into it, there was a number of reasons that I wanted to go into it. One, it corresponded directly to my retirement date, and then two, the significance of the better mental health as it means to me. But coming out was just, learning that I was capable of doing that. That type of distance was built a lot of confidence in me as an ultra runner. But even more than that, I felt like it just changed in general. I was now retired from the United States Navy. I now supported this cause that's really important to me, personally, and also I see the importance in that in so many other veterans. And so it was really life changing for me.
So that always begs the question, life changing for you, how do you keep this going forward?
Well, I'll tell you that the next 2 weeks, the pastor's really been hitting the spot at church and talking to me. And so we're in a series on Mark right now, and the story of when Jesus calms the sea, Mark 4:35. And also the story in Mark 5, where a demon releases a man from his demons. With back-to-back study of those two, those are directly after Swami, and those were perfectly timed. The story of Jesus calms the sea, the pastor said something that I really appreciate. He said, "You learn more from sailing in the stormy sea than you do the safety of shore." And that's
Amen.
true in so many respects. That's true in running that race. That's true in dealing with, the mental challenges that many veterans deal with. That was a nail he hit right on the head. And he followed that up the next week with Jesus releases the man from from his demons. And in that story, Jesus tells the man to tell your story. And the pastor really concentrated on that. Tell your story. And so that resonated with me too. And coming out of that is the first time I opened up to anybody other than my wife about challenges that I've had. I always kept those internalized just because that's how I dealt with things most of my life. And so I find, telling the story is not only about Swami, but about what it meant to me was really important. And so moving forward, I think, yeah, of course I'm gonna continue ultra running, but I think I'm gonna focus some of that energy about about those around me more so as well too. Like, what can I do to better those around me, both in running, but also those who may be facing some type of challenge in their life.
Because you realize everybody has a story. And one of my biggest motivations in life is I want to give everybody the opportunity to tell their story, because I think the saddest thing that happens, especially with our veterans who are struggling and so many other people who are struggling with depression, anxiety, and then they end it, their story never gets told. And I think that is a crying shame. And so, for me, the motivation is let's find ways to get people to tell their story. And I am so excited about your story, because your story is a story of being released from your past so that you can move into the promises that he has for you. And one of my favorite verses, of course, is Jeremiah 29:11-12. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And that to me is that's that I'm just going to assign you that verse because I think that that verse can take and continue to propel you to the point where you find people and help them tell their story. Because, you know, the whole thing that happens, you know, Jeremiah, you know, gives this promise and he says, you know, next verses over are, if you seek me, you will find me. And that's where the future and the story gets told. So I just think I'm so proud of you, and it's a pleasure, to get to know you a little bit better, Thomas.
I really appreciate that. I look forward to our next run.
Yeah, no problem. I can't wait for the next run too. We'll have to figure out what it is. Are you coming out for? Are you going to do the backyard?
That's my plan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Cool. I signed up for it as a training run for my 6 days in the dome at the end of June. So
Okay.
I told Karen I'm going to run 10 yards, and then I'm quitting, and then I'm going to help her push all of you guys to, 30 or 40 yards.
I think it's going to be a great race this year. There's a lot of repeat runners there, and knowing that, last year went, I think, 30 or so more miles in the first
Yep.
year, and it was already amazing. I see it only getting further and further and more challenging that with the great runners that are coming out.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll definitely have to go for a run. And like I told Adam Morrell, I actually had a meeting out by Lone Star. So I swung in there off of your thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, who knew about this place? So let's
Right.
not tell anybody else about Lone Star Park because they'll find out that it's got some really kick-ass trails to run on. And so we'll just keep that our little secret. Nobody will hear about that, because I mean hardly anybody listens to the podcast, right? It's going to be inundated. There'll be Strava segments out there and all that garbage. That's funny. Never mind.
I look forward to getting out there. I really do. Because I ran out there before, but I found new trails that I was previously unaware of. So, and there's more to explore out there. So I can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I just kind of drove in after my meeting and everything and took a walk on, some of the trails right off of the parking thing. I was like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be fun. So yeah, that looks like a fun place. So I'll have to meet up with you out there sometime. And definitely gonna have to, do, Windsor Castle, because I mean, if you haven't ever seen the castle in Smithfield, I mean, you gotta go out and see the castle, right?
Absolutely. It's a great place. That's my go-to.
It is awesome. That trails, the system in there is beautiful, and it's a great place. Well,
Yeah.
Thomas, as we close this out with, the name of the podcast is Living an Ultra Life. A lot has changed in a year. What does living an ultra life mean to you now?
Well, I consider myself an ultra runner at this point. It means that I don't think I would hesitate to sign up for something again for fear of completion or a distance. I tell you that previously, I don't know exactly where my boundaries are, but I know where they're not. Those are the chains that I've broken. And
Awesome.
so it's about finding how can I challenge myself more and find out what my real limits are. But also this phase that, is opened up to me now, it's about really developing my spirituality and becoming ultra in that sense too. And I think that's probably the most important part of where I'm going.
That's awesome. Thomas, you are going to do great things. Not that you haven't already done great things. You've, completed a military service. You're raising five kids successfully. You've got an amazing marriage. And, now all of a sudden you add some really, really strong finishes and some ultra races and more to come. Your future's very bright, man.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right. Thanks for spending the time.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.